Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of The Moonalogues. Hello world, hello change. I hope you're feeling rested. I hope you had a good day, and if your day is just starting out, then I'm hoping that it's going to be an excellent day. Should you be listening to this on a Sunday, I'm wishing you a very happy Sunday. If it's not Sunday, then I'm going to wish you a happy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. In today's episode, we're going to have a look at the impact of patience. We're going to look at patience from various angles. You know, ask weird questions about how patient are we with others? How patient are we with ourselves? And we're going to check out two examples, two very different examples, one from the Netherlands and one from Brazil, where patience has a huge impact on the lives of people. And maybe those examples inspire you to copy for change, copy the projects I'm presenting to you, or motivate you to include a little bit more patience in your daily life. In any case, I hope it brings you a little bit of optimism and a big smile to your face. So let's do this. Patience. I don't know about you, but patience isn't what I'd call my strong suit. I'm many things. Patient isn't one of them. When I look around and look at the world in general, it seems that patience is a very thinly spread quality among the human race. I used to wonder why it was that I didn't have more patience, but I recently had an epiphany, and now I've all figured it out. I simply wasn't born patient. Ha! What a triumphant explanation. And here is why. In my mind, I imagine all people sitting in heaven or wherever we are sitting before we get ready to become a human being. And there is a sort of auction taking place. Naturally, without money, because money, of course, is an earthbound thing. So basically, it's an auction where they are giving away character traits. You just have to raise your hand for whatever character trait you want, and you get even to decide how much of that character trait you want. So here I am, sitting at this auction before my birth, and some heavenly creature is offering the following character traits and skills. First up is intelligence. And yes, I'm thinking to myself, intelligence, I'll definitely want some of that, and I raise my hand. And the nice heavenly creature gives me some intelligence to take with me for my life on earth. Next up is generosity. Can't hurt, I'm thinking. So again, I put my hand up and I get generosity. Courage is on offer next. And in my head, I'm going, hell yeah. For what I have planned to do in this life, I definitely want some of that. And so it continues. They offer charm and wit, kindness, gentleness, a great sense of humor, discipline, sincerity, freedom-loving, street smartness, and many, many others. And after a while, everyone is getting a little restless. Because let's face it, we've all put up our hands and gotten the qualities that we wanted and that we hope will best suit us in our upcoming human experience. So the heavenly creature says, and last but not least, patience. And I'm thinking, nah, who needs that? I'm ready to get down to earth. I'm ready to mix things up. I want to play. So when do I get to, you know, be born? And so you see, that's why I lack patience. Please note that this heavenly auction has nothing to do with what I believe happens before we are born. But I like the image, and it feels like it fits. I mean, it explains everything, right? So let's figure this thing called patience out. There are two sides to patience. One is being patient with yourself when you aim for something that isn't happening as quick as you hoped it would. The other side of patience is directed at other people. How quick do they do what we want them to do? But no matter how you look at patience, patience has always to do with time. For impatience, always has a scent of hurry about it. Things need to get done quicker or should have been achieved yesterday. At the same time, being patient shouldn't be confused with being lazy, in the sense of, oh, things will come eventually and until then I'll just sit and wait here on my couch. Or as some smart people put it, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Where do you stand when it comes to patience? Are you easily frustrated when things take longer than expected? Things like trains or Ubers? Or how about projects? How do you feel when it takes longer than you thought until your project kicks off, makes money, you finish that paper you had to write? How patient are you with others? How patient are you with yourself? How patient are you when it comes to changing old behavioral patterns that no longer suit you? Well, I think we all know how challenging it can be to keep a good attitude while we are waiting. I'd say the most challenging example in most countries I can think of, at least in the global north, is waiting in line at the checkout counter at a supermarket. It's one of life's greatest challenges for humanity, apparently so great that a multinational technology company, which shall remain nameless, has begun to create supermarkets without checkout queues. Instead of standing in line and paying at a checkout, everything is digitally solved, and you take what you want and can leave the supermarket without ever having to face an interaction with another human being. And so, while one company reduces human interaction in supermarkets, there is another company that does the exact opposite. Welcome to Kletskassa, the chat checkouts. The supermarket chain store Jumbo in the Netherlands has decided to offer an alternative to hectic and stressful shopping by offering checkout counters where you can have a brief chat. Just imagine paying at the checkout and having a nice little chat with the cashier while the people behind you in the line wait patiently. There is no rush. You can take your time. That's what the chat checkouts, or kletskassas as they are called in their original Dutch, are offering. A checkout counter for people who are not in a hurry and enjoy having a little chat while paying for their shopping. It all started back in 2019 in Weimen, in the municipality of Brabant in the south of the Netherlands, and it quickly gained in popularity. Many people, especially the elderly, sometimes feel lonely, shares Colette Kloosterman van Eert, CCO of Jumbo. Our stores are an important meeting place for many people, and we want to play a role in identifying and reducing loneliness. The chat checkouts are a result of the government's One Against Loneliness program, an initiative to galvanize organizations, towns, companies, and individuals to find solutions for loneliness among senior citizens. It's an issue that gained wide attention globally in recent years, and not only since the pandemic. In January 2018, Britain appointed a Minister for Loneliness to help tackle the issue. Japan created a similar office in early 2021. I know I've mentioned this fact in an earlier episode, the one on the park benches, but because loneliness is becoming a worldwide public health threat, I just think it's important to mention it again. And some researchers compare the health impact of social isolation to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Former US Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has called loneliness a growing health epidemic, with more than 40% of Americans reporting experiencing loneliness. And that was back in 2018, so way before many people were exposed to self-distancing and isolation in the recent months. In the Netherlands, about 13% of the people living in Amsterdam is estimated to suffer from what is called severe loneliness, and city officials are taking the subject seriously. But not only in the capital are people suffering from loneliness. The Dutch country is home to an estimated 1.3 million senior citizens, those who are older than 75 years. And loneliness among the elderly has become a growing concern. In the Netherlands, the Ministry of Health, Welfare and Sport has backed local coalition against loneliness in each of the 355 municipalities across the country. With the ministry support, these coalitions launch programs such as home visits, telephone hotlines, and creating maps outlining activities seniors in certain areas can enjoy. The Kletskassas at Jumbo are just one example of how the Dutch are trying to increase social interaction and connectivity. And the concept of the chat checkouts was such a success that Jumbo announced in September of this year that they are opening 200 more Kletskassas within the next year. And Colette Kloosterman van Eert, the CCO of Jumbo, continues to explain, "As a family business and supermarket chain, we are at the heart of society. We are proud that many of our cashiers like to take a seat behind a Kletskassa. They support the initiative and want to help people to make real contact with them out of genuine interest. It's a small gesture, but very valuable, especially in a world that is digitizing and getting faster and faster." By offering a chat at the Kletskassas, the cashiers get a small break too. There's less pressure of having to go faster and faster, less impatient customers. And with more patience, there comes more kindness and vice versa. When we feel less hurried, less stressed, we are inclined to be kinder to our fellow human beings. A completely different impact of patience can be found on the other end of the Atlantic Ocean, in the world's fifth largest country, in Brazil. The South American country is mostly known for the Amazon, the Carnival of Rio de Janeiro, and of course, the country's love for football. Brazil, however, is not at all known for its ingenious CAN English language centers that teach more than 500,000 students. So let's change that. Not all our children have the chance to travel abroad and to interact with native speakers of the English language, shares Vanessa Valenza, pedagogical coordinator at CAN English Schools. What our students really want is to speak the language fluently. And we were always asking ourselves how we can make it more real, more human. And what makes learning a language more human than human interaction? Taking the learning experience out of the classroom and into application with another person, into real life. CAN English Schools wanted to create a sort of virtual exchange program, which would make it possible for all students to participate. All they needed were people who were native speakers and willing to chat with their English students. They found what they were looking for in the Windsor Park retirement community in Chicago. The residents there have something younger people usually always chase: time. The residents of the retirement home spend their days doing jigsaw puzzles, playing solitaire, or other activities that don't necessarily require the company of the younger generation. Having some time to yourself is bliss to most people, but to spend all of your time by yourself can get a little gloomy. After all, human beings like company. The participants of the exchange program sit in front of a computer. In Brazil, the computers are located in a classroom at the language school. At Windsor Park, you find the computers in a sort of common room or media room. Gilberto, one of the students living in São Paulo, makes a video call to Henry, his elderly chatmate in Chicago. When Henry picks up, they both wave into the camera, thereby bridging a distance of roughly 5,225 miles. That's about 8,400 kilometers. Gilberto introduces himself and explains, "It's the first time that I'm talking to someone from another culture." In another booth in the classroom, Melissa and Esther are also having a video chat. The young Brazilian girl greets her chat partner Esther with a shy smile. Esther beams back at her. Today, the elderly lady is wearing a pretty red dress with white dots and a pearl necklace. It feels like she dressed up for the occasion. For after all, it's the first time the young Brazilian and the American lady meet. The first exchanges are similar to the first exercises in any language book. How old are you? Do you have any brothers or sisters? What kinds of hobbies do you have? These questions that seem so theoretical when learning them from a book all of a sudden become more tangible, more important and useful, for they allow you to find out and learn about another person. In her chat with Esther, the lady with a pearl necklace, Melissa talks about her brother with whom she's living. He has 23 years, Melissa says. While the sentence is grammatically incorrect and might lead to feelings of frustration or even failure in a normal classroom setting, Esther understands what Melissa wants to say and helps her out. "You know," she says, "instead of saying he has 23 years, you could say he is 23 years old." But these video conversations teach a lot more than correct English. Deke, another resident at Windsor Park, holds a black and white photograph of a couple into the camera. The young Brazilian boy named Vincent looks fascinated at the photograph and asks, "Is this your father?" "No," explains Deke. "That was me and my wife when we were young." Victor looks astonished. "Oh, you were good looking when you were young," he replies. "And you're still good looking." Deke's face lightens up as he smiles, and the young Brazilian boy reveals a set of braces as he shyly smiles back. Maybe this sounds a bit cheesy, a young boy complimenting an elderly gentleman on his looks. But when you see the two of them interacting, it doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel cheesy. Victor, the Brazilian boy, continues to ask Deke, "Do you plan to come to Brazil?" And Deke replies, "I would like to." And he promptly gets invited to stay at Victor's house. It may be unlikely for this encounter to happen in real life. To me, it speaks volumes of what patience and kindness inspires in others. For we only open our house to those who don't judge us for our mistakes, but instead help us to get better in every possible way. It takes patience to teach and help someone else to learn something new that is new to them. We are usually patient with babies and toddlers when they begin to learn how to walk. We encourage them to get up again and again when things don't work out the first, the second, the umpteenth time. Because we know it takes time. They will get there in the end, and so we are patient and kind. And what's more often than not, toddlers have both perseverance and patience with themselves. For they usually know that they will get there eventually. As we grow older, we forget about these qualities. All of a sudden, learning a new tool, a new language, a new sport comes with an expiration date. Though we all know that a seed takes time until it breaks through the surface of the earth and grows into a flower. It's the gift of age, I assume, that you have seen the world and know that time is, after all, a gift you can share. It's less about getting where you want to go, but about spending time with the people on your journey. And so what starts out as an alternative language learning program that brings lively conversations to both participants, the Brazilian students, as much as the residents at Windsor Park, turns into an experience of bridging the generational gap when the Brazilian students share their dreams. Some of them dream of traveling to the US. Others envision themselves being happily married one day with a big family. Sharing these moments between generations turns learning a new language into an experience of connecting beyond age and beyond cultures. "You are now my new granddaughter," exclaims Esther happily into the camera, and Melissa responds with a big smile. She's lost her shyness. "If you were here, I would give you a big hug," says Henry to Gilberto, pretending to hug the camera. And Gilberto answers, "Yeah, let's hug," getting up from his chair to pretend hug the camera on his side of the world. Human connection can only happen when we meet the other, be it online or at a supermarket checkout counter. But it'll only ever happen if we don't hide, but share a smile with a stranger, listen to their story, and sharing ours in return. Because after all, what is the value of life if it is not to form connections? Here's the thing about patience. It comes from a place of feeling connected. Feeling connected to the other person's learning process, to your own personal journey. It is inevitably linked to kindness. You can't help it. Kindness to others, as well as to ourselves. The best explanation of what patience is that I've come across so far comes from Abraham Hicks, who explained it in the following way. I'm paraphrasing here. Imagine you're on a trip. You're driving your car to this fantastic city where you want to spend a great weekend. You've got dinner plans in a restaurant that comes highly recommended and theater tickets to a play you've been dying to see for ages. So you're really, really, really excited and looking forward to getting there. Then you make a pit stop. You get out of your car and you stomp your feet and yell because you aren't there yet. You're not at the city. And that's impatience. You aren't where you want to be or believe that you need to be, and so you start yelling and stomping your feet. It doesn't get you to the city and the restaurant and the theater any quicker. All it does is annoy the hell out of you and turn the whole journey of getting there into quite the miserable experience for all people you meet along the way. And so that's the secret, I guess. Patience is waiting with a good attitude, taking that pit stop, sharing a laugh with the people you meet along the way. And so the next time I'm doing my grocery shopping and I'm standing in line at the checkout, I won't stomp my feet. I won't yell, but I'll smile. I'll wait patiently, for I know I'll get there in the end. And if I must wait anyway, I might as well make the best of that time for myself and all the people I meet along the way.